always look forward to talking to Paul Lisnick, who's with us. He's the WGN-TV political analyst. Good evening, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and I just had a little chuckle there during the news when David announced that Condé Nast magazine had rated Chicago the number one American big city 9 years in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that
probably a calculation done before a week ago, maybe, or so, right?
I don't know. That certainly doesn't fit into somebody else's scenario. I can tell you that. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it still is a great city, and you and I know that.
Of course
that. And,
it is.
You know, one of the things, and this involved a guest that it was coming onto the show, somebody who doesn't live here, who began to think that these issues, these protests, whatever, are sort of everywhere. You have to kind of say, no, that's what the news is making it look like. They're actually just in just a couple of places. You're safe. You're fine. You can come here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I think I don't know what the actual... Well, I guess the end game for all of this is to rid the country of illegal immigrants. But there's also the optics, I guess that's the word, that seem to strike me as to how it's done, how the people who are in charge of doing it, what they are attired in, if you will, and their... I don't know. I think the presence in some parts of the city is just supposed to be to scare us or bully us or something along those lines.
You know, John, when you say the end game is to have everybody who is undocumented or otherwise not legal removed from the country, I mean, I think that's the initial impetus. I think things are moving beyond that. I mean, yes, that is something Stephen Miller and those around him want to do. But I think you're seeing something else going on here. This is about a consolidation of executive authority, a consolidation of executive power. Again, the president is not sending troops to red states. He's not sending troops to any place which is already in his camp, right? He's sending them to places who are problematic for him. And so I think that what he's attempting to do, I mean, if you think about it here, to try and take down Pritzker, or take down Johnson, or just take these, I think he's trying to gain a stronger hold over some of these blue cities. Why? Well, is it about elections in 2026, elections in 2028? I'm not sure, but there are models of autocracy you can look at in other countries, and you can see that we are in many ways following in those steps behind them. Now, of course, if you're a supporter of the president and you believe in Trump, then all this stuff sounds weird to you because you're like, but I love what he's doing, and that's fine. But if you are sort of questioning what is going on and what the motive is, then it's worth being a student of history and taking a look at what's happened in some other countries.
Oh, I don't think we're allowed to look at history anymore. I think
that's a good point.
That's been a part of this whole deal is we're going to revise history, because if you look at it, it's obvious to me. My father grew up in Germany and got out of there with the Nazis, and I've been alive long enough to be able to see developments in human nature, if you will, and you know, I know what certain things look like, and I don't care what the hell somebody else tells me. I know what they are. You know, you can't you can't just say, no, that's not it. It's this. When I know that what I'm talking about is the truth, and that I've known it all my life. And just because you say so doesn't mean that that changes. Now, that doesn't mean that, I mean, you may be able to go out and do anything you want. I mean, it seems to me like why even bother having the laws or having the courts or whatever, because, I mean, literally, no matter what they decide, those in charge are going to do what they want to do.
You know, when Pritzker had his press conference, I think it was yesterday, and was asked the question, you know, how do you win this? How do you get out of this?
Yeah.
And he said, it's the courts. It's the courts that have to step in. I was on our morning news today, and I referenced that, and I said, yeah, because there is no congressional branch anymore. And we've talked about this before, they've been neutered, so there's nobody, because Republicans control it, so there's nobody in the Republican Party with a strong enough united voice to get in the way of every step the president is making. So there's no congressional check. That leaves the courts. And the concern there is that while you do have lower courts who are presenting a check, appellate courts who oftentimes confirm that check, and then we've seen when it gets up to the Supreme Court over the last period of years, that this Supreme Court is willing to expand executive authority. On our Friday night news, I made the point of saying, you know, some people would say, well, you know, maybe, look, if maybe the court believes in executive authority, and they just do, and it really doesn't matter who the president is. You may not like it, but that's what they're trying to do. That would be an acceptable argument, except that during Biden's term, when Biden attempted to exert executive authority, such as student loan forgiveness or student loan extensions, the Supreme Court slapped him down. And when he stepped back in to try and say, okay, let me try this again, working around the court's ruling, they slapped him down again, saying that's Congress's power. You don't see anything like that happening this time around. And that's why I say that the judicial check on the executive authority's power as we see it now is one that is getting exercised by lower courts, but to date has not been challenged by the upper court. And you see it mainly in this shadow docket, all these rulings coming down, no briefs, no arguments, no nothing, just a, here it is, President Trump, you can continue, you can fire those people, you can dismantle that department, you can do all of these things, you can send the troops in, you know, all these sort of things that are happening, and you only get that sort of lone liberal justice like a Tanji Brown Jackson or maybe a Sotomayor who says this is the destruction of democracy, and they make that point in a decision that's otherwise not accompanied by any kind of explanations.
Paul, David Jennings here. I got a question for you.
Hi, David.
Out of curiosity, and you are a bit of a historian here, why is it that we seem to be so susceptible to forgetting how most people who wind up as authoritarian leaders, wind up getting there not via revolution, but by election?
Well, that is indeed true. And one of the things that happened, I think, you know, and I'm being careful about the stories I'm telling it, but I mean, John is making very strong points in what he's saying. But here's the thing. Right now in this country, look, if you were to have an election today, would President Trump win again? He might, even though there's dissatisfaction, because what you have are people that nevertheless accept the policies. A lot of people, Republicans in the country, say, well, I don't like his style. I don't like his personality. I don't like the way he treats people, but I like the policies. The question is, how informed are people in general in the country informed about the various policies? You know, I get emails all the time from viewers, and I'll just the most recent one on the issue that we're dealing with, which is the Democrats holding out here for health care. And so many viewers will write in and make comments like, well, I don't think that illegals or, you know, undocumented immigrants should be getting should be given health care, as though they are under the Democrats' plans signing up for, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield or whatever. Well, I shouldn't say that, government programs for Medicare or Medicaid, which they're not allowed to do. And here's the piece they're not understanding, just to go to this particular argument, which is what this whole shutdown is all about. What the Democrats are saying is, look, this is about funding hospitals. The big bill just took away about $1 trillion in funding, $800 billion, away from Medicare, giving it to tax breaks and other places. So here's the net result of that. When people go to an emergency room, you might be a citizen, you might not, you might be documented, you might not, but when you go to an emergency room because you're having a heart attack, do we want the nurse at the desk to say, I'm sorry, do you have papers? Can you show me? Are you a citizen here? Because if not, you're out on the street, dude. Sorry. If death is what's waiting for you, that's what has to happen. And most people, including a lot of Republicans, will say, no, I don't. That's not what I want. They somehow think that the Republican view of this or the statements that they're saying, which is about give health care to everybody, when the reality of it is it's about getting reimbursements to hospital for covering emergency care. If people could just understand that and be more informed about it, I think you'd have a lot more people saying, oh, I get that. And who of all people came out today to say we need to do something about this? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
So here is the most staunch Trump supporter who says, wait a minute, I'm just looking at this and my kids' insurance premiums are about to double.
Right.
This doesn't work for me.
We'll be back with more with Paul in just a second here on 720 WGN.
We're Chicago's very own WGN.
Paul Lisnick. You know him as the WGN TV political analyst. You know, there's a word that I think can apply to all of that, all of this, and that is revenge, because it seems to me that if you were on the president's side, you're pretty much not going to be bothered. But if you weren't, you better look out, because here he comes. Am I right?
Well, John, I would love to say that's a brilliant deduction, except Trump was very upfront about that. He made no secret of the fact that this was going to be the revenge tour. So what I'm saying is, you might have listeners right now just going, oh, that's not fair, Landecker. What if Trump said this is what he was going to do?
I mean, you can't hide from the fact that he's only sending troops of National Guard to quote-unquote blue states, not to quote-unquote red states. And, you know, my nephew and his kids and wife live in Portland. And, I mean, it's laughable, quite frankly, that that city would be considered deserving of a visit from the National Guard. I mean, it's just beyond my
You've had the mayor and people who live there on the air all the time saying there's just nothing going on here. Everything is quite quiet, except some people, I think, dressed up in these sort of animated suits that are doing their protesting. But the revenge isn't just that. You're absolutely right. That's part of it. But think about the indictment now of James Comey, listen, Comey's no friends to Democrats or Republicans, right? Everybody has a reason to hate Comey. John Bolton, I mean, he is clearly, and yet you have Tom Homan, who apparently the FBI has on tape accepting $50,000 in a bag to get people jobs if Trump gets back in the office. That gets closed immediately as an investigation. So there's just so much here where you see people on a Trump enemy list going after them. Pam Bondi testified today. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it. I watched it as much as I could. And I mean, just the way she treated the Democratic senators, I just think, you know, if you're testifying before Congress, you owe some respect to all the people who are responsible for you having this job. It was really a shocking thing to watch the way she was accusing the senators, Democratic senators, of all sorts of things, and just really disappointing. But the bottom line is, she would admit to nothing in terms of going after the president's enemies. But you don't need her to say it. It's just, you can see it. It happens.
Watch it. Exactly.
Just watch it. Yeah.
I don't need any verbal confirmation from her. I watched the news. What's the Insurrection Act?
Well, so that's something that it's been triggered a couple of times in the past. It was triggered in the Civil War. And insurrection is what you think. Well, it actually takes me to an interesting place. But Lincoln had to exercise the Insurrection Act because, of course, the Civil War. It last got triggered in 1992 in the L.A. riots. And George Bush triggered that. And it's what gives the president, triggers their authority to start sending the National Guard and or the military to various places to address something. But what's interesting about it is, and what I think might be inherent in your question is, so how do we define that? How do we know when we're in an insurrection? Hey, good question. We don't. Essentially, the president would tell you it is. And now, when Lincoln said we have an insurrection, I think most people probably agreed with Abraham Lincoln. Bush, I think probably with those riots, you would agree. Here's the interesting part here, and we talked about this on the air this morning on our WGN Morning News, which is you have this Biden-appointed judge in Chicago who actually was the nominee to be the U.S. attorney, and that got blocked. So Biden makes her a judge. She's the one that steps in and says, okay, I'm not going to stop these troops from coming here, but you have until Wednesday night to get me a brief, and Thursday we'll have a hearing on this. Meanwhile, the troops are here, right, and they're coming. At the same time, you have a Portland judge who's a Trump appointee doing just the opposite, saying, no, you're not coming here. But what Trump said today, when asked by one of the members of the press, well, are you going to declare an insurrection? He said, essentially, I might, thinking about that. Here's the problem. If he chooses to do it, and it all goes eventually to the Supreme Court, you'll have lower courts all the way saying it's not, looking at the facts. But the Supreme Court and the way they've been acting in these last period of years, they're going to give tremendous deference to the executive, to the president, to President Trump. And I believe if he says there's an insurrection, I believe that this Supreme Court will look and say, well, that's the president's call. We have to honor that call. You won't see that at lower courts, but I think you're going to see that at the Supreme Court. Now, that's just a guess. We'll see what happens. But my point is, it will be a presidential authority question more so than is there really an insurrection going on.
I got a couple of minutes left, and I probably should have left more time for it, but what about the shutdown, the government shutdown? Where do you see that?
Well, I'm not sure where it all ends. It's too, you know, I actually am in Cleveland tonight, overnight, and I got out of Chicago before all this, you know, the slowdown and shutdowns and all sorts of things started to happen. One of the concerning parts there is, you know, the standard line has been, look, all these people, they're going to get laid off. If they get laid off, they'll all get back pay. And today, apparently, the president's budget people are saying, no, they found a memo or are drafting a memo to say, no, they won't get their money back. I don't know how you say you care about your federal workers if you're going to work to make sure they don't get back pay. But of course, that's to create more and more pressure. And so now what's happening? You have air traffic controllers not wanting to go to work and not show up. Well, guess what? The 15th of this month is the last check that the military is going to get. Are we going to say that if the strike is going on, we're not going to reimburse the military? And Trump has not been clear about it. He's just said, well, we'll the right people will get paid and other people will deal with it. What does that mean? So that, I think, is where the concern goes. I think we're going to see somebody's going to have to break somewhere. At this point, the Democrats are too dug in for them to give in and say, okay, we'll open the government and then we'll talk about health care. Their whole argument is that November 1st, premiums go up. They can't give in or they look like idiots. You know, and the Republicans?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, with Marjorie Taylor Greene and if others were to follow her, to sort of say, okay, we need to talk about it, that may be what puts a little dent in this road and opens things up.
Well, regardless of issues or whatever, I think it would be great to have the government working again. Just my own personal opinion. Hope you have a great time in Cleveland and don't have any problems with your air travel coming home. Thanks for being with us, Paul.
That's what I'm thinking about, John, but I'll hopefully talk to you soon and back in Chicago. Thank you,
John. All right, thank you. Paul Liznick, WGN-TV political analyst.